Never before has the world come across four men more willing to share their collective knowledge and wisdom for nothing in return. They'll deliver it to you with such style and class and make Samuel L. Jackson look more like your snotty-nosed cousin who still wets the bed.
Fuller, go easy on the Pepsi.
Why am I saying incredibly wonderful things about these men? Well, I have a terrible, terrible gambling habit and I owe them a lot of money. It'll be epic.
Something special is about to happen.
It'll be brave.
No fear, no hesitation.
It'll be perfect in every way possible.
Are you kidding me?
Rangers. Pete, Muffy and Joe, coming to you in all its pre-recorded glory from the capital of Australia. This is The Sports Trench.
Ah yes, episode 140 of The Sports Trench is here and we're back for the second week in a row cashing those checks from last week. Speaking of cashing checks, Foolsy.
Good morning.
You look like you're cashing checks in that suit.
Oh, I cashed some checks this week, mate.
Really?
Oh, I did.
Doing what?
I tell you what, Pete, I went out. So we sold our car. We're getting a new car.
Yes.
Sold it
so
more
sold
than we
your
thought.
Old one.
Sold the old one.
That is probably worth about $1.50.
It's probably worth about $1.50. But yes. We got $1,400 for it.
As in privately, on a private sale.
On a private sale.
Dear Lord.
Yeah. So then I got really excited.
Yeah.
And I bought a 75-inch TV.
With the $1,400.
Well, actually, once we got the sound system and all that, it cost about $3,000. It's probably the most frivolous purchase I've made in my life.
You lost money on this.
Oh, purchase. We lost money. But it is amazing.
Yes, look, I did see the photo of you in front of the world's biggest screen looking like you're probably going to go blind.
Oh, no. It's just, it is phenomenal. So tonight will be the first time I get to watch a bit of football on it.
Yeah.
Provided the game's on free to air. Haven't checked.
Well, it is. It's Thursday night football. Come on, mate.
Yeah, well, you never know with old Channel 9, do you?
No, you do know.
Oh, okay, sorry.
you get a game on a Thursday, a game on a Friday, and a game on a Sunday.
Yeah, you could argue they've got a schedule, but yeah.
I'm not arguing it. It's just a fact.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. It depends how you want to look at it.
Right.
So, I'm excited.
Factually.
I'm excited.
Yeah, that's how we decide to look at it.
Yeah, no, don't worry about them. Get in the way of a good story. Right, well, there you go.
Yeah.
So, beers and footy at your place then.
Yeah, well, I have to because, oh my goodness. So, it got delivered, right? Mm. And a friend is currently staying with us. So, he got the delivery.
Yep.
And they put it in the lounge room. It, like, took up the whole lounge room. It was so big. We didn't realize how big it was.
Yeah, look, you probably don't have the lounge room for a 75-inch TV.
Oh, we made it work, though. It is.
Anyway.
Gorgeous.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad to hear. And Muffy, how are you, my friend?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm no 75-inch TV, I'll tell you that much.
I'll tell you what, mate. Get one. It'll change your life.
Might as well just put a big screen on the wall.
Yeah,
like
get a projector.
I don't even know how big 75
it is. I didn't either until it turned out.
I'd say it's approximately 75 inches, to be honest.
Is it like an upside down dining table just stuck on your wall?
Oh, yeah.
Flipped.
Like a pretty sizable dining. Like you could have a 6-person dinner party on my TV now, I reckon.
It's like those old rectangle trampolines you just flip on their sides. It's that.
Yeah. It's like that. Oh, it is just amazing. And you know what? Because we never had the whole like smart TV. So we've got a smart TV. I love
it. Oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
So you've got your TV's now smarter than you.
Yeah.
So you can have like all those streaming, like the Netflix and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, streaming Netflix. And it's got a bunch of apps that, you know, we don't have. But it's still, it's good.
We could just do a pod, an hour pod on
the TV, yeah.
No, we
and the functions of it.
Yeah.
No, we couldn't. That would be bad.
We could start on the soundbar.
No.
The soundbar. Oh, my God. It's surround sound. Yeah. So when you play FIFA, it sounds like you're at the stadium.
It doesn't. You're
it's,
idiot.
Oh, my gosh. No, it's amazing.
You're incorrect.
Anyway, I'm fine, Pete. Pete, how are you? I hear that the last game of the Tin Can was on the weekend.
It was at the weekend, yes.
How was it?
We managed to get a win, which was good.
Finished on a high. So what does that put you at?
500. So we finished. We finished 9-9. So
well, that's not a. Is that? I don't know. That seems all right for a season.
Yeah, we were two games out of finals.
Yeah.
Like,
and two games we probably could have won throughout the year, but just struggled. So Silly Sunday was on Sunday, and Monday and Tuesday were not good days at work. So
I don't know if you saw Fulzy, but Pete had probably one of the best costumes going around.
No, I didn't see.
A proper kitted out Popeye costume with the inflat, with the big arms and all.
That's amazing. I'll have to see it.
Look, no, you don't.
Okay,
no,
fair enough.
Got a little hat, little pipe. Fair enough. Pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Looked even better after the fact. When old Popeye had too much spinach, it looked even better.
Oh, Popeye had a lot of spinach, and it didn't feel very good, that's for sure.
Good job, Popeye.
Yes, so the season is over, though, so now into footy final season, pretty much.
Mm.
Going to just watch football all weekend, every weekend.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Pretty excited.
You should get a 75-inch TV.
No, I don't want a 75-inch TV. I don't need to spend $3,000 on a TV.
No, you can get it for $1,800 if you don't get a bar. Anyway, we can discuss
if you
this.
Don't get a bar.
We can discuss this offline.
I think you've got a bar about your TV.
Yeah, I do.
So was it always the plan when you sold the car, that money wasn't going to a new car, it was going to something else? Was
no,
that always the
I
plan?
I thought it was always going to a new car, but they're idiots.
We walked in there and Amanda was getting $40 headphones. That's why we were in the store.
$43,000.
Like, and yeah. I was bored because she was talking about headphones. And so I went and I was looking at TVs and then it just spiraled. And
you know how you're bored about your wife talking about headphones?
Yeah.
The listeners are really bored.
Yeah, they're done with this.
About you talking about this TV.
Oh, that they haven't seen it yet, mate.
They don't need to. And how are they going to?
We'll do a live stream from my house for Origin next year.
No, we won't.
Okay, that's a TV.
Doesn't Rangers have an 80-inch TV?
Nah, he's got a 70. Oh. See, this
he's
is
got a 70. This is bigger than his.
Yes,
your space is much smaller than his. He's
this
got
is
going to
be
room.
The thing I'm looking forward most to in my life right now is walking into Rangers' house and going, "Oh, geez, that's pretty small." It's TV for ants.
Can I ask a quick question? I know we want to get off this, but.
No, we're not.
Is the reason you went for 75 is because you could say that to Ruggers?
It played into it.
I guarantee it would have.
It played into it for sure.
Here's a 70. I said, no, I don't like that one.
Well, I was looking at 85s. It's a whole new market, the 85s.
How'd you get...
It's that.
Could you imagine
a couple more? It wouldn't have fit.
No,
wouldn't have fit in the door.
No, it wouldn't have. Like, actually, wouldn't have.
You would have had to put that outside.
Out the front
on a wall.
Yeah, in the garage.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. Well,
good chat though.
Yeah, Fulzy's TV was pretty good. We need to really bust into the show now. All right, let's move on to the news, shall we?
Bunker. Televisions.
I said move on.
Television.
Speaking of televisions, the Bunker Boys. What is going on at the moment with the Bunker? There are a lot of bad decisions at the moment, and it seems like we've gone back in time, and they're making some strange decisions, in particular with... some late hits and some sin bins because of those late hits, as well as some try decisions that, and in particular, Fulzy, your Panthers versus the Raiders, there was probably at least two there that you go, was that actually a try? And so what's going on? How do we fix it? What do we do? Talk to me.
Well, I don't know. We're so deep with the Bunker. Like, I don't know if you... I mean, they try to fix it by basically only having, you know, basically going to the Bunker and then making a decision pretty quickly. And that was at the start of this year, and was it, or end of last year, they brought that in. The decision was made a lot quicker. Now they've gone back to, you know, a lot of different angles, and it's slowing the game up, which I think is frustrating people, which doesn't help the situation. I don't know. I think
they've got to stop ruling on late hits again. Like, they were doing this on high tackles during the game. They were doing this on knock-ons during the game. And they were ruling on all sorts of things. And I think they need to stop ruling on this stuff because, when you look at something in slow motion, it's probably late in slow motion.
Correct.
But if you look at it in real speed, it probably wasn't that late. Now, was it a cheap shot? Maybe. But the thing is that you can't be sitting there watching that all the time from the bunker, stopping the game and going, you've got to go to the bin for 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly right. I was just going to say the same thing. I think a few other commentators have said it, but if you want to penalise, if you want to rule on those late hits, then do it in normal speed. Because that way you'll get a fair indication of if the person probably could have pulled out of it or if they literally just went in, as you said, for a cheap shot. Like, I think you'll get a much better read rather than, you know, rather than looking at it in slow-mo. And yes, the ball has left the hand, but then as soon as that happens, someone comes in and crunches them. I mean, you know, the ball player has to have pressure on them. And yes, I do agree they have to be protected, but there is, you know, there has to be a bit of a leeway there, surely.
Yeah. Exactly.
And again, if their back's turned and they hit him in the back, fair enough. Like, penalty, regardless whether the ball's gone or not.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That's fine. But some of those ones, like even like going back to the Tarik Sims one that everyone was talking about, I honestly didn't think that was super late. I thought that was, yes, it was high, but I don't think it was late.
I think the other thing, though, is if a ball player's turning their back all the time, are they doing it intentionally so they don't get hit? Like, you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
again, players adjust, so, yeah, you know, like, without them coming out and saying exactly that's what they're doing, you probably never know. But
yeah, I don't know. It's not an easy one, but I think, yeah, the bunker's struggling at the moment, and I'm not real happy with the try situation at the moment. We've gone back probably 10 or 15 years, probably 10 years, maybe even 5. I might be over-exaggerating. But we've gone back to basically, if you just throw the ball towards the line, you're pretty much getting a try. Like, there's no downward pressure again. Like, it's just, if your fingertips are touching the ball, then that's downward pressure and you're given a try. And so, there was one in the Raiders game, didn't look like he put downward pressure at all. He just knocked it on and was, you know, scored as a try. Like, and that's happened in the last few weeks. So there's been a number of those where you go, there's no way you can give that as a try and say that's got downward pressure. Like, you've slowed it down so much that it looks like downward pressure, but realistically, he's got no control of it in real time.
Yeah. Yeah. So to your end question there, Pete, can we fix it? I think it's going to be very tough to try and fix those issues. Also, did you see during the week they were talking, I don't know, I think it's just preliminary, but bringing in Hawkeye technology for forward passes, which I think that'll add an extra element.
They came back and said, oh, the Roger Tuivasa-Sheck one it went backwards, definitely. I'm not 100% sure on that. I've seen more borderline passes this year pulled up than that one. I saw another video footage they'd done of where he passed it from and where it sort of landed.
Yeah.
He tried to pass it backwards, but it was like the Parramatta's player hand was there. That's a difficult one to rule on. Like, you know, and they've now come out and said, oh, we made a mistake. I'm not sure that was the right thing to do there. I reckon that's a difficult thing to rule on in real time.
Yeah.
We don't use this bullcrap of the video referee for, you know, like the Hawkeye thing. If we start using that, we're going to slow the game.
Yeah,
like
to me, yeah, I think you're right. They should have just owned it and said, right, you know, look, we made a judgment call on the field at the time. Due to the information that we had on field close to it, we ruled it was forward. Like that's it.
Yeah, exactly. And I just think
we stand by that decision as a forward.
Yeah, and we stand by the referees that made that decision. Instead, they've come out and said, "Oh no, we made a mistake." I don't think that was a mistake at all.
Didn't they say they made 4 mistakes or something in this game and they've sacked them all?
Because now the issue is, that stuff that's borderline that should be called forward is not going to get called forward anymore. And you're going to have players just throwing the ball forward and guys scoring tries and going, oh, my hands were going backwards. And we're going to start playing rugby union where you can just throw it wherever you want.
Well, and you can knock it on whenever you want.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway.
That's a silly game. Why are we talking about that silly game on the show?
I don't know. It was Foolsy in the TV. It threw me off.
Sorry, everyone.
All right, let's move on to a quick Ward 4, shall we? Oh, hello.
Blame Foolsy on his TV.
Sorry.
Messy me, that could have put him in Ward 4.
The sports trenches.
I hope not, Bill. That's a maternity ward.
Ward 4.
One. I started saying sorry, everyone.
and then that came on. So I thought I'd better finish it.
No, you didn't have to.
Never leave a thought unfinished, Peter. That's my motto in life.
Yeah, you also talk about other things never leaving unfinished. Oh, but anyway, yeah. That's probably not for a PG podcast. All right, what do we got this week? Takiaho and Cordner have calf injuries. They're out. JWH got a dangerous contact charge. He's out for a week. Ryan Hall is out with a knee injury, 2 to 3 weeks. Rooster's copping it at the moment. Mm. Dale Copley has a hamstring injury. He's out. Alex Glenn, a groin injury. He potentially is out. Philip Sammy and Christian Welsh are under the concussion protocol and will be sitting out this week. Isaac Luke, dangerous throw. He's out for 2 weeks. And TPJ, high tackle. He's going to be out for at least a week.
Mm. High, late, and stupid is what they should describe that as.
Okay. Thanks. Appreciate that. That's probably no good for a bunch of super coaches who have been holding on to him despite his indiscretions this year. Anyway, that will do for Ward 4 today. Just a quick one.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
The Sports Trench.
And thank you, madam. All right, moving on. Round 19 review time. Thursday, 25 July. Sharks 16 defeating the Cowboys 14 foolsies.
Yeah, we had a chat about this last week, so I'm not going to say anything really. It wasn't a good enough game to merit 2 weeks worth of commentary. So on to the next, Pete.
Thanks very much for that wrap up. You could have just said something about it.
But. Oh, look, the Sharks won in the end. They were pretty average, though.
Oh, God. It's quality.
Yeah, thanks for that. All right, moving on to Friday, 26 July. Tigers 28 defeating the Knights 26 in a game that the Knights probably let get away. Knights started much better in this team and looked like they game and that looked like they were going to absolutely destroy the Tigers. 12-0 after 8 minutes and it was looking ominous. However, the Tigers stepped up, scoring the next 3 straight tries going into halftime for an 18-12 lead. The Knights were super disappointing in the second half and pretty much that middle third of the match there. Robbie Farah got over for a try in his milestone game, as he generally does, just diving over in the corner. And Kenny Dow had a try in the 68th minute to put this within 2, and they had a conversion attempt to tie it up, which they missed. Look, both teams completed pretty well in this game, 86 to 88%. 86 for the Knights, 88 for the Tigers. Tigers missed 44 tackles. The Knights just couldn't capitalize on this game whatsoever. Boys, what do we think about the Knights? Are they done?
Yeah.
Do we think they're going to make the 8?
I think they might scrape in. I think they'll battle with four other teams. We're
probably in a later discussion. Yeah. But
I think they might scrape into the 8, but I think they might just, you know, bow out pretty quickly if they don't. Mm. Like they can't just rely on Ponga.
No.
That's the thing. They can't. And I think everyone's talked how, you know, how good Mitch Pierce has been. You know, have they peaked too early?
Mm.
Which could be the case. And teams are probably figuring them out, going, well, we literally shut down Ponga. And if we then
everything else.
And we pretty much that's done. Like Pierce can't throw the ball out the back to Ponga if he's covered. And their forwards are going well, but again, their forwards haven't been as dominant in the last sort of month as they were in the first sort of, you know, 10, 12 rounds of the competition.
They made a bunch of changes this week, so it's probably an indication of what's happened. All right, moving on. Friday, 26 July, Rabbitohs 20 defeating the Dragons 16. Foolsy.
Exciting finish with the Dragons probably getting a bit closer than most of us expected. But in hindsight, the game was over in the 4th minute when the Dragons took the 2. Rabbitohs scored the next 3 tries, of course, but couldn't actually convert any, although a conversion put them out to 14-2. And then 2 quick tries got the Dragons back in the lead. But then, yeah, there was that last-minute try to South, and it was converted, and game over. This game really showed the importance of conversions. South could well have lost this game despite scoring more tries, and that's been an issue that the Sharks have dealt with over the last sort of month. You really got to have a good kicker. For the Dragons, Jason Saab got a double on debut, which is nice for him. Vaughan led for the forwards, and Woodard was solid in his return, But again, Mary couldn't figure out that spine issue with Dufty playing 3 minutes, and that's just a waste, having someone on the bench to play 3 minutes. Walker was probably the best on set on ground for Souths, but Souths sort of really need Burgess back to lead those forwards, and luckily for them, it sounds like he's in this week.
Yeah, look, I think they've just been managing since Origin. They lost a bunch of games over Origin, which was going to happen, and I think they knew that. I think they're going to start firing along over the next few weeks when they get bodies back.
Yeah, I think they'll be. Yeah, I think they'll be there at the pointy end, and in big contention.
Mm. All right. Moving on. Saturday, 27 July, Eels 24, defeating the Warriors 22. Muffy.
Yeah, as we've mentioned, Pete, there was a lot of talk about this game after the fact due to a few things. Obviously, refereeing errors, the forward passes we've spoken about. That was with 3 minutes to go, and that would have given the Warriors the win, which is obviously why most people are talking about it. The penalty count was the big talking point in this game. 9 penalties to the Eels, only 2 to the Warriors, which then also made Stephen Kearney talk about the stripping rule, which he then said in his press conference he just wanted to piss it off. quote unquote.
I don't like
it. It was great to see a big Kiwi say the word piss it off in a press conference.
Just puss it off.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. At all.
I like the stripping rule.
I like it. I think they've changed it and the game's much better because of it.
And I don't know whether I noticed it more just in the last couple of games of this round because they were talking about it. Players are actually going two in the tackle and then visibly one person is going...
Falls off, yeah.
And then throwing their hands in the air. So that's an indication to one, the ref, and two, the other player to go, right, bang.
Yeah.
And it happens quite a few times in the on the Sunday games.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I like the idea of stripping. I think... Just in general.
Yeah,
right?
You do.
I think you can make a fat stack out of that, mate.
Not him. He could not.
He could.
No, he couldn't.
Yeah, I'll manage.
Oh, God.
We've got money coming in here.
You guys are going to be poor.
But in spite of all that, this was actually a really good game to watch. I mean, obviously, probably not if you're a Warriors fan. But just as a spectacle, it went pretty much try for try. Warriors kicked off first, Mamalo, then Takarangi, then it went back to Ethan Perry, Sivo. Like, it was just back and forth in the first half. There was a try each in the second half. It was a tight game despite the one-sided penalty count. But again, the Warriors have only got themselves to blame for that. I don't think the coach can come out and blame the rest just for a few stripping calls that may or may not have gone their way.
Of course you can, because it's much easier to blame the ref than it is to look inwards.
Mm. Anyway, so this game, Mitchell Moses played well. Gutherson, he's really started, like, he's been up and down since the last few years with the Eels, not knowing his position. But now I think he's pretty much in that fullback spot for the rest of the season, which I hope. And he's playing well. What else can I say about this game? Eels with this win actually gets them back into the eight. So they're still in the bottom of that eight. And I think they're one win clear of the next people. So... it's looking more likely if Parramatta continue with eking out a few wins that they will probably finish in the eight, which up until probably, you know, a few weeks ago, that was a bit dicey. But I'd say if I had to choose, I reckon they'll get there. So, yeah, that's pretty much this game, Pete. I don't know if you want anything else, but that's me.
No, that's everything. Saturday, 27 July, Broncos 34, defeating the Titans 12. 30 minutes in, this was 22-0 to the Broncos. That's probably what you need to know.
Yeah.
Titans then scored late in the first half. Broncos then put on another one. So it was a 22-point lead at halftime, 28-6. And then after that, 34-12, like, they scored a try each, converted in the second half, and that was the game. This was a nothing game. The Titans were absolutely disgusting. 59% completion rate. That is horrendous. That is not good enough for an NRL standard football.
I think you're in real trouble when, arguably, over the course of the season, and I like this guy a lot, but arguably over the course of the season, Michael Gordon has been your best player.
And he's been injured for three quarters of it.
35-year-old Michael Gordon. Yeah. He was their best player in this game, and he got sent to the bin for 10 minutes. Like, they were just, they suck.
Yeah, it's bad. They're real bad.
And was it summed up any more than Jared Wallace running 50 out, got the ball on a charge down or something, I think, and was running. Yes, he got he had some had a tackler, but they were around his legs, and the ball just popped straight out of his head.
Yeah.
And it was like, ugh. I mean, that wouldn't have done anything anyway.
No, but that's just exactly.
It would have got him off 12
probably
points.
Probably sums up their last few weeks in the season. Yeah, it's danger. Danger time for the Titans. They're going to check out and who knows? Like, they got the Roosters this week. Like, you're in big, big trouble.
Oh, just go to Jupiter's.
They're playing at the SCG. It could be a cricket score this week, yeah. Despite the fact the Roosters are missing a lot of guys. Anyway. All right, let's move on then, shall we? Saturday, 27 July, Seagulls 11, defeating the Storms 10. And the only man who tipped it on the panel is going to give us the rundown.
I was confident.
Good job, man.
It was a tight game, wasn't it?
It was.
I don't know. These teams always seem to put on a bit of a doozy, and they do have an actual genuine hatred, it feels like, for these teams, which is great, which I love.
Did you see Bellamy came out and said he wants Golden Try? Doesn't want Golden Point anymore.
Well, is that because... Because
they lost in Golden Point? Yeah. I don't know. But it's a strange time to bring it up. Like, yeah. Wouldn't you bring it up, you know, another time if you really felt that strongly?
Yeah, just like sour grapes. But in saying that, I think there was 9 attempts at field goals. Mm. Oh, sorry. 8 attempts and 1 successful. The 9th one was successful.
Well, hence why he's saying he probably prefer Golden Try. But
Well, you know, that's what happens when you entrust Brody Crofts to try and slot a field goal for you. Doesn't happen. DCE was the hero in this one, obviously slotting it in the 89th minute, so in the last minute of extra time as well to get them the 1 point. Just going back, phenomenon happened in this game, Fulzy. Did you see this game?
I did. Well, I loved it.
You would know what the phenomenon is. Will Chambers, what did he do?
Oh my goodness. I don't want to encourage it, mate. I don't want to
encourage it. He scored
it.
From his own kick.
He does. He does that occasionally.
No, he does it one in every 50 times, and then he'll keep doing it.
No. He's done it. I did it earlier on in this season, but he did it. He does. He has these moments where it works. Mm. But yeah, you're right. It's like 2 in every 30. He ends up scoring a try.
Well, just looking at you right now, Pete, you actually look like you could be the media manager for the Storm.
In my grey suit and my purple tie. Yeah. Right. Hey, you leave Will Chambers alone. No more questions. No more talking about Will Chambers.
Ever.
Yes. Yeah, anyway, Muffy, sorry, continue your...
So that play got them on the board. So that was in the... They didn't score in the first half. Yeah. So that play actually got them on the board. To kickstart them and they were in front there for a bit, Melbourne. It was literally 2 tries to Melbourne, 1 try to Manly and then penalty goals. So it was, you know, it was a tough game. Both sides had pretty much the same amount of time in possession. Melbourne actually had the ball. They completed 84% of their sets. So typical Melbourne performance, they just held onto the ball and tried to strangle the opposition. But to their credit, look, Manly were up for it, and I don't know. Do we think that this makes Manly the real deal? Like, I think they've showed glimpses this year that they could be a genuine contender. But
I'd be very concerned about them. Like, if I'm the top sides, I'd be worried about a Manly, and I'd probably be worried about a Raiders.
As your wild cards.
Yeah, as your wild card teams that could probably knock you off if you're not on top of your game. I don't think they're on the same level as South Melbourne Roosters. I think those 3 are the best 3. But
when you've got it,
much between them.
And you've got some genuine X factors in your team. I mean, that anything can happen. I think Ruben Garrick he's played exceptionally this year as a rookie winger. He's a big guy and his kicking is phenomenal. Like, that's, and again, that's the difference in these sort of games when you can, you know, get those conversions from the sideline, and he's doing it consistently.
Oh, he's an excellent kicker.
And as much as I don't like this person as a just general person, I think the way that he's slotted in at 5'8", I think Dylan Walker has been extremely handy coming back when he has and playing 5'8". Back for the Seagulls. So I can't see, you know, someone like Kay Cuss, who filled in quite well for the month or so, I can't see him getting back in unless there is injury, because I think Dylan Walker has done a pretty decent job in that.
Yeah, Manly is winning football games, and you don't generally change a winning football side, that's for sure.
No, that's for sure.
And as particularly after you beat a team like a Storm, like, yeah, I don't think you change it. Jake Trbojevic, 69 tackles.
Mm. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Just a workhorse, an absolute workhorse.
69 tackles.
And again, and that, good. And the lifting tackle, I think, happened in the last 5 minutes. Yeah. Or so he was a bit tired. And again, it's not in his nature to do it. And it's, you know.
Look, Rick is not real happy at the moment. And I get why not. Because the Kotrick one and the Trbojevic one and the Ponga ones, like, you know, there's a lot of similarities there. And only one guy got suspended for it and, you know, sent off for
was
it.
He got actually sent off, didn't he, Kotrick? And yeah. Ponga got binned.
Ponga got nothing, did he? Yeah, he got nothing.
He got a penalty.
He got cited.
Yeah,
but he didn't get, like, the other two got actually in-game penalties, like a sent-off or a sin-binning.
Yeah.
And again, looking at it, it looks worse than those two combined.
Mm. Yep. So Rick was not happy.
Yeah, look, and it's fair enough.
Understandable for Rick. Yeah. He would have seen that Saturday night, and it was one of the first things he talked about on Sunday, I think. So. Yeah. Anyway, all right, good job, Muffy. Good job tipping it. However, you tipped something else wrong, so you still only got 6 for the round.
I think I tipped against the Raiders, actually.
Yeah, I think that might have done
it. Error.
Anyway, all right.
And I tipped the Knights too. That's the other thing I did.
Yeah, me too. Moving on, Sunday, 28 July, Roosters 20 defeating the Bulldogs 12. Foolsy.
Another game that ended with a tighter scoreline than expected, although it was probably never in really serious doubt with the Roosters running the show early. A late try from the Dogs got the scoreline back to just 8. Teddy starred as he does. He had a try and a try assist, and he was just dangerous chiming in at the back there. We've kind of touched on this, but Brett Morris got his season tally to 3, which is what we were all watching for, but also Chambers with his little kick and chase got his to 5 to maintain his 2-try lead in our bet. Not convincing from the Roosters by any means, but good sides tend to win games when they're not great, and I think that's the difference between those top sides and sort of everyone else, and I think, you know, got the win.
Yeah, I agree. Look, let's say Brett Morris wins from here out.
Yeah.
Give me a chance.
From here out? No way!
He wins by 1 try.
Nah, he should definitely win from here out.
Well, he should, but...
Yeah.
Let's start at 0 all again.
No way.
Come on.
Fine. No, definitely not, because Will Chambers sucks, man.
You watch, he'll score another try kicking the ball this week.
Oh, he will.
Be sad. All right, moving on then. Sunday, 28 July, Raiders 30, defeating the Panthers 18, Muffy.
I don't have your music cue, Pete. I apologize for that.
That's okay, mate. It's all right. Yeah. The win will be enough.
Yeah, 15,500 people went to the foot of the mountains to see this one. Penrith scored first within the first 3 minutes, I think, to
Yeah, he's a good player. I like him a lot.
He's very good, isn't
he? Him and Naden have sort of come out of nowhere and have been really... Yeah, they've overshadowed the more fancied Mansour. I don't know what Mansour's done this year.
Not much.
He's even played?
Yeah, well, he has, but not much.
Yeah. Mm. They scored, but, geez, they had a lot of possession in that first, 15 minutes or something? Yep. The Raiders, I think, touched the ball maybe once. Mm. It was a phenomenal amount of possession, and they couldn't, obviously, they scored a try, but they couldn't do much more with that. Once the Raiders actually got their hands on the ball, they scored pretty quickly. Josh Papali got over. And then the Raiders were on a bit of a roll. They scored again.
Scored the second try for the Raiders?
Oh, yes, Fulsey. There was a couple of our brethren scoring tries in this
game.
Old
Elia Woye scored that one, didn't he?
And that was aided through the fact that Dean Huare got sent to the bin for 10.
Yeah, no, he did. It was an interesting sin binning. Anyway.
Again, the Raiders stuck their noses in front and they were out by a few tries. Second half was actually pretty entertaining. Panthers came back at them. They were starting to get some field position through. Nathan Cleary was finally finding some grass with his kicks. Maloney was in a constant battle with the referee in this game, so much so that just before the end of the first half, the referee told him not to come back to him ever, like again in the second half. So, in true Maloney style, he went back to him straight away before the end of the first half.
Oh, God.
And apparently there was an argument in the tunnel with Cleary and the refs or something. I didn't sort of read much
of
that.
I'm not real happy with any of the antics of the Panthers team and squad, and it clearly is led by the front, which is Cleary, and his behavior in the tunnel. I think it's poor behavior to be continually approaching referee, continually questioning, yelling, carrying on, which Maloney does. And he did in this game, and it's a bad look for the game. It slows the game down intentionally, and then Cleary to go off in the tunnel and be having words in the tunnel to the referee is just not appropriate.
It's just a total product of what they've allowed.
Yeah,
like for years you've been able to be as disrespectful as you want to the referee in NRL. Like, there's no other sport like that NRL where you can just say whatever, you can swear at the referee, no penalty. They've dug their own grave here.
I don't disagree with that. I think it's probably something that needs to be addressed. I think
definitely.
I think captains should have the opportunity to discuss things with referees, but there's a way to do it. And if the referee said that's enough, then you walk away. That's enough. You don't continue to carry on. And Maloney just did. And I'm not real happy with this.
Yeah, and I would love to see if that happens. I would love to see them just sin bin.
Yeah,
That'll stop it.
Yeah,
you know, it'll stop other teams from doing it.
Yeah,
I think you need to. Yeah, particularly if you've given them forewarning and maybe more than one.
Yeah,
to say look, that's enough.
Yeah.
So I think that didn't help the Panthers for sure. They the Raiders came out in the second half and they put a few tries on. It was sort of against the run of play. There was a few strips in this game as well. Rapana got over for one. Chans, Nigel Klogstad, they're trying to sign him an extended contract, Pete. Did you see this?
They should. He's phenomenal.
Yeah. So he got over, and Fulzi to finish it off, player of the match. He was in everything. He led the tackle count for the Raiders. John Bateman.
He was excellent.
He was, he's a really different player. Like, he's a second rower, but he doesn't look like he's a second rower. Mm. He's got the moves, he's got the footwork, he's got the skill of a center. But he's got that, and he's really tough as well.
Yeah.
Which, he just never gives up. And, he's got that sort of, that sort of wavy lip, which seems like he's got no teeth. And that's what he looks like. He just looks like a really rough and tumble guy. I actually really like him as a footballer. I haven't heard him, don't know what he's like as a person, but I like him as a footballer.
Yeah, look, they had him on the Professor's show a few weeks ago, and they gave him a fair bit of grief, and he was pretty afraid, I think, of the crocodile they got out there, so he's not as tough when there was a crocodile or something.
Yeah, well, fair enough. Crocodile.
they got something out and scared the crap out of him. I can't remember what it was. Mm. I think it was that anyway. Yeah.
Look, a good win for the Raiders away from home. That obviously puts them still in fourth. So yeah, they're trucking along quite nicely, Peach.
Yeah, look, it was a good win against a side who had won 7 in a row. Having said that, like, you can't win, every single match, and I think the Panthers needed to drop one just to put them back on track, I think, this week and get them focused again, back on training and stuff like that. Look, really good opportunity to smoke a Bulldog side this week and really stamp themselves in the eight.
Yeah. It's disappointing, though, we have decided to handle losing that game with all the carry-on with the refs and stuff. Like, how many good sides do that?
Yeah, well, good sides don't blame the referees and don't come out and continually berate the referees for what's happened during the game. Yes, they will question, but and they will get their point across. But probably two of the best ones examples I've seen recently are Cameron Smith. He generally will ask questions and say, "Hey, can you watch this or can you do this?" Like, he continually goes up to the referee, but does he ever abuse a referee? You don't see him run up and get in front of the referee's face and start carrying on. He walks over whenever there's a break in play, whenever he has an opportunity, he walks over and has a chat. Like, he just has a conversation. It's a running dialogue, but that's different to running up and getting in their face after every single call.
You go, Fulzi.
If you're a captain of a football team and you haven't noticed that, because it's only been going on, 16 years, and how effective that is as a tactic, you're an idiot.
Exactly. Or you employ the James Graham tactic of, putting your hands behind your back while you're talking to the referee.
Yeah, yeah, very proper.
Because he was getting too fiery, so he just constrained himself by doing... It was great.
Well, I remember that. I'd forgotten about that. That's fun.
Anyway, all right, moving on then, shall we? What I wanted to talk about was just a quick one here, lads.
Oh, you don't want me to do a...
Nah, I didn't need one. We'll do one after this. A quick one here. I've just got a couple of questions, and I'm going to ask you boys what your thoughts are, rather than we'll go through every team. St. George Illawarra Dragons, done?
Cooked.
Done.
Done.
Just forking them, done.
Yeah. New Zealand Warriors.
Done.
Done.
Yep.
Yep.
Two out of the eight.
Yep, throw them out of the boat.
Well, not even one out of the eight. Like, Brisbane are 19, they're on 17, then one out of
absolute
the eight.
Absolute best case, first week gone in finals.
Yeah, their run coming home is the Raiders twice, the Sea Eagles
once.
Yeah,
they're done.
Like now, I'm not saying like they couldn't beat the Raiders. They could. Like
it's it's this weekend over there, is it?
Yeah, this weekend over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got the Roosters once in that run. Like, yeah, you're probably right. Look,
bye.
I just thought I'd ask a question. Fair enough. Two borderline ones: Cronulla Sharks, Newcastle Knights. Both one win out of the eight.
Sharks will get there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm undecided on the Knights. I think if I had a gun to my head, I would say Sharks get there, Knights don't.
Right. So then, who drops out of these bottom three? Broncos, Penrith, Parramatta.
Broncos.
Parramatta. You reckon Parramatta are done?
If someone drops out of there, I reckon it's either Parramatta or Penrith.
I reckon Broncos are shaky at best, I think.
I don't know. I like them. I like him.
Para have the Dragons, the Knights, the Titans in the next three rounds. They're all three winnable games. You get to 28, you're almost pretty much guaranteed to make in the eight.
Yeah, that's true. I think
and
they
the
could
Bulldogs,
drop that.
They're their next four rounds.
Yeah,
they should have four straight wins.
Who's this? This is the
Eels.
No, they won't be the Dogs, but
I knew that was coming. But they're the next four games for them. They should win three out of those next four.
I think they're the worst team currently sitting in the eight.
You think they're the worst team currently sitting in the eight?
Yeah.
Worse than Penrith and Brisbane?
Yeah.
Really?
The only one who's borderline is Penrith, I reckon.
Why are you so high Brisbane? On Brisbane?
Yeah.
What Milford at the back, mate.
It's been better, but yeah. I still don't trust. Like,
I mean, David Fifita is an absolute machine.
He's awesome.
What he did last week was ridiculous. But I think teams will, teams can figure that out. Like, I don't think they've got the X factor.
I don't think they have the spine because I don't think Darry B's a 5'8", and I don't think he's a fullback anymore.
I think he's better at 5'8" than he was at fullback.
Yes, because he doesn't have to do anything anymore because he was standing around doing nothing as a fullback. Yeah. Anyway, all right, that's interesting. All right, that's probably about it. I think we know the top teams and we've discussed everything
else. I got a controversial one for you.
Okay.
Go Fishing, South Sydney.
Go Fishing?
Go Fishing. They'll make the finals.
Yeah.
And they'll be out in 2 weeks.
Of course they're making
the finals. So I got the two big contenders, Melbourne and Roosters, and the only other two teams of interest in terms of actually maybe winning the grand final, Raiders and Sea Eagles.
I think you're wrong there. I think Souths are a big, big hope. I think you're forgetting what they did at the start of the year.
Mm.
And I think once they start getting their full squad back together, they're going to go on a tear. And they're
downhill
gonna...
runners, mate. Yeah. They're all healthy at the start of the year. They're all not fatigued.
They've got 28 points and are coming second and they're downhill runners?
Yeah, like, I reckon.
I reckon they're the worst. You're probably right because I think Melbourne and the Roosters are probably the best two teams in the comp. So you're probably right. The odds are way more in your favour in making that prediction. Having said that, I think you're being very harsh on South.
Canberra and Manly are both better sides than South.
No, that's incorrect.
Manly missed Trbojevic for pretty much the whole half of the year, and they're only.
Two games back.
South have been missing Burgess and GI left at the start of the year and makeshift centres at the start of the year.
None of those are as a big an impact to South's performance as Trbojevic.
GI was the captain.
Yeah, but he wasn't that great. Trbojevic is like half their team.
He wasn't that great.
He was... Okay, he
was on his last legs.
He had cooled, but he still wasn't horrible. And
no, he wasn't horrible.
I don't think as a whole. I think South Sydney as a whole is a better team than... Manly. I think Manly's got more individual brilliance, absolutely. But I think South as a team are better than Manly.
I think you have been very harsh on South here. And
they're second. What are you doing?
They are second, but I'm not buying it.
All right, fair enough.
Not buying it.
Not buying what they're selling.
No.
All right, fair enough. That's it. Let's move on then to round 20 preview time.
Oh, I forgot the sweep now.
You literally had tried to queue it up before.
Fuzzy, do an Elliot Whitehead sweep?
Trench?
What the hell was that?
That's not an Elliot Whitehead.
That sounds like Ashley, doesn't it?
Oh,
that's spot
God.
On.
It's Sports Trench.
This is the worst.
This is pretty good,
it's going
actually.
Good.
No, it is not. You lot are idiots. Anyway, let's talk about Thursday, 1 August, today, tonight. What a show that was. Almost as good as A Current Affair. Anyway, Tigers versus the Cowboys at Leichhardt. For the Tigers, Chris McQueen and Tommy Talau come in. For the Cowboys, Gideon Gila-Mosby's in. Michael Morgan's in. Tom Gilbert's in. Corey Jensen is out.
Are you happy that Gideon Gila-Mosby finally gets a run? Or is he like in, as in on the reserves?
He's in the reserves.
So he'll
name them, Pete.
He'll more than likely drop out of that group. You know, mate, I just like to make sure everyone knows who's in and out every week. You know, make sure the listeners know what's going on. Look, interesting game here, boys. If the Cowboys get this, they're one win out of the eight. If the Tigers get this, they're in the bottom of the eight. So both teams have a lot to play for.
How are the Cowboys in the contention for the
eight? Well, they're on 16. Like,
we haven't spoken about them at all.
No, we didn't talk about them just then either because I don't know. I
would have thought that would have been just above the Bulldogs.
They probably. Well, they are. Bulldogs are like on 14, I think.
So we're still a chance.
No, you're dead.
Oh, okay.
It's like the Titans are on 12. Like, you know, one of those is a bye.
Keep losing Titans because I'm not sure we're going to win anymore. But if the Titans keep losing, then I'm happy.
Yeah. Well, I don't think the Titans are going to win another one. So I think you could be pretty safe there. Anyway, real interesting game at Leichhardt. I probably would normally tip the Tigers. I don't know. Like, Michael Morgan coming back is pretty big for this side. Look, I'm going to go the Tigers by 4. I've got no confidence in it, though. I think the Cowboys could really spring an upset here.
Cowboys by 2.
Yeah, you're going with that. Based on?
Morgan backs a big deal in more than just his playmaking. It also moves a really good forward, Asiata, back in there. So.
Into the forwards, actually playing forward.
Yeah. Nah, this is a no-brainer. Tigers at Leichhardt. Robbie Farah announced his retirement during the week. This is going to be a Tigers win by 12.
Cowboys by 40. Cowboys by 40 now. I think they could really go backwards, the Tigers, from last week after that. But anyway, I'm going to stick with my tip. All right, let's move on. Friday, 2nd of August, Warriors versus the Raiders at Mount Smart. Muffy.
Are you a bit nervy about this one, Pete? Travelling across the ditch?
I'm not worried about the travel because that's just not a thing. But I am concerned.
But ditch travel is different than normal
it's
travel.
Not. It's not a thing. but I am concerned that this Warriors side could spring an upset here. Having said that, if we defend like we defended against Penrith when they had all that possession, I can't see the Warriors beating us.
Yes. Well, let's have a quick rundown of the side. So, Cody Nikorima is back at 5'8 for this game after missing last week. That moves Harris Tavita back to the bench. And Isaac Luke, he didn't beat his charge, is that right?
Nope.
So, he's gone.
Yep.
Who will they got? They still got Lawton, I'm assuming, will probably come in.
Probably.
Carl Lawton.
Maybe Yars will shift there.
Yes. Well, super sub. No, he's doing fantastically well.
He's playing at lock. He's going to stay at lock.
Keep him there. He's in my fantasy squad. He's in my team every week. I love him.
No.
He loves you.
Good.
Whoa. Oh, nice.
Yeah. Mutual respect, man.
Wow.
That's pretty much the Warriors team. For the Raiders, no surprise, Rick has named an unchanged team. Kotrick is still out for another week. Oldfield is still in the centres. Oh, just a quick thing. I didn't mention this last week. Went to the Raiders game last week. At the end of the game, still in the private box finishing our drinks, so we were still hanging around for about 15 minutes after
the
game.
Just in the private box.
Yes,
having some drinks in the private box.
Yes. And so there were three Raiders players that were left on the field hanging out with the fans.
Shans was one.
Shans was not one.
Oh, he wasn't.
Soliola.
Yeah.
Jared Croker.
Yeah.
As always. And the other player was Michael Oldfield.
Yeah, right.
Now, Michael Oldfield isn't, you know, all due respect, is a nobody. But he spent the most time out there with the kids and signing autographs. He even took off his shoes and socks and gave them to the kids.
What a chief.
Yeah. What a chief. So that sort of stuff you don't hear about. But yeah, Michael Oldfield, so good for him.
Just speaking of this, that sort of stuff, Sean's and someone else turned up to some, like, someone's training the other week, like a local footy team in Canberra here, training, just turned up, like, as in they weren't scheduled to turn up.
Yeah.
They just heard it was on and went down. Like, I'm like, that's unbelievable. Like, just went to some kids, like, footy training, just turned up. Like, that's the stuff that you want in your footy club. Like, that's the stuff that gets kids and parents into games. Bums on seats.
And I like the fact that people don't know about it too.
Yeah.
I think if you start publicizing that from like from a Raiders point of view, which they obviously haven't, then that's where it becomes, is it genuine? Where if you just go ahead and do it and, you know, people know about it, but it's only through either being there or word of mouth.
Or Facebook. Like I saw it on Facebook, I think.
But that's it. Like it's generated. So I think that's great.
I saw Chance as well. A dude texted him saying, hey, like, my niece is in hospital. Can you just, like, give her a quick message, say good luck? And he was like, oh, whereabouts? And he rocked up and just played Xbox or something with her for, like, a couple of hours and chilled.
Chansey.
He seems like a chief.
What a chief.
What a dude.
Wrap him up, Raiders.
I reckon. I agree. I would. Like, the way he's been playing and just a good dude. That's what you want in your club. Anyway, yes, go on, Muffy. Sorry.
Any who's, let's go with a tip and... I really want the Raiders to win this, Pete, so I'm going to go the Raiders by 8, but I have that sort of slight doubt that there may be an upset because it's over there, but Raiders by 8. Let's lock it in.
Raiders by 12.
I got them by 10, but I think it could be higher.
Yeah, I think it could be higher than that too. If the Raiders really put the foot on the throat here, this could be a much bigger win. All right, moving on then to Friday, 2nd of August, Broncos versus Storms at Suncorp. Fulzy.
Matt Gillette was named to return, but we're hearing he will not play. Tevita Pangai is suspended. Ofa Hengawe will go back to the bench. Palasai will drop out. Halfback Tom Dearden has been named among the reserves. I'd forgot he even played for them with what's been going on in their halves, but that's an interesting one. And then for the Storm, the only real news is Vunivalu Valley will come back in with Sandor Earl making way. I actually think this could be a cracking game. Brisbane have looked much better with Milford at fullback, in my opinion, and some of the young forwards are starting to aim up a bit more, and I think that is not just a form thing. I think that's a growth thing for some of these guys. And I think Milford at the back really raises the floor of these Broncos. He's much better just playing off instinct, and he doesn't have to worry about organising that side and kicking and all that kind of stuff. And I think it's making him really dangerous. But yeah, Pangai suspended does hurt, but even then, who knows which Pangai would have turned up on the day. Melbourne is still Melbourne, and I like them to win the comp. But yeah, still should be a great game considering it's at Suncorp. I'm going to go Melbourne by 1.
Yeah, look, I think the Storms bounce back, and I think it will get shown up that this baby Broncos side, when you play an actual decent team, you're probably going to get stomped on. So I'm going to go Melbourne by 8, but that could be higher. Yeah, I think they're going to bounce back after.
It's another interesting subplot, isn't it? Testing those young guys
against
a seasoned
team. Yeah, a veteran team that knows how to control a football game. And I'm not sure the Broncos know how to do that yet. They've been playing a lot off instinct at the moment and just playing football.
Yeah.
Which, you know, can work for a long period of time. But what happens when you get in an arm wrestle?
Well, I think they've got a ton of talent, but they do, as you said, need that one guy in the halves who can organize the game and make things happen when there's not much doing.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go the Broncos this one.
Oh!
Broncos.
Broncos by 4. I don't know. Just got a feeling up there.
He needs to catch up on some tips too.
Yeah, well, that's the other point. I think it would also, I mean, it'd be good to see the Storm come back within one win rather than them run away with the minor premiership too early.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right, Saturday 3 August, Seagulls versus the Knights at Lotto Land. For the Seagulls, Coruscant, Elliot, Gozowski, and Parrott are ins. For the Knights, a lot of changes here. Aiden Guerra, Bo Firmer,
Falma Mama.
Yeah, yeah. Chris Randall, Jacob Saifidi, Jura Momisia. I left, I should have waited to, you know, mock a name that I couldn't pronounce. Anyway, Lachlan Fitzgibbon, Mason Lenore for the outs, Danny Levi, Herman SCSE, and Jesse Ramian are also out.
I tell you who's been rubbish for the Knights, Mason Lenore. He had one good game, and he is a liability both in attack and defense, and he's a gives away a billion penalties.
Yeah, well, he's the starting 5'8 this week, so
yeah, good.
So that's really, really good. Like Muffy talked about, Dylan Walker stays at 5'8 this week for the Sea Eagles. That bench has changed a little bit with Aiden Guerra coming onto the bench for the Knights, which means that's where SES is dropped out. It's going to be interesting here. Fitzgibbon being back's a big in. I think he's a big part of what they do, particularly on that side that Ponga likes to run off. When Fitzgibbon's running those lines, it makes it a lot easier for Ponga on the field. I can't see this Knights side beating the Manly side. If they turn up like they did last week, they're just going to beat this side. And I'm going to tip Manly by 8.
Yeah, this is mouthwatering. You got probably, you know, two of the three best fullbacks in the game. But being at Lotto Land and the way that Turbo's playing, yeah, I'm going Manly by 10.
I'm going Manly by 4. I think, like, this is just why Newcastle have to replace Brown at the end of the year. These changes are just random nonsense. They're not even the people who are the problem. He's just randomly shuffling people across the chessboard. He's got to go. He's a terrible coach. Anyway, Eagles will win by 4.
Right, moving on then to Saturday, 3 August, Bulldogs versus the Panthers at Bank West.
Speaking of terrible coaches, here's another one.
He's the benchmark.
He's another one who shuffles.
Oh, actually, there's someone else coming up who's pretty bad too.
Yeah. For the Bulldogs, Brandon Wakeham, Jaden Ockenbaugh, Ofahiki Ogden, and Raymond Fatala-Mariner are ins.
They're not in, Pete.
Well, I know, but they're the ones that have been named in the reserves, all of those guys. Surely you bring at least Ockenbaugh in, but anyway. For the Panthers, Selle, Jed Cartwright, Linu? I don't know. And Crichton have been named. Look, those guys have been named on the extended bench as well. Interesting game, this one. I think the Panthers should really put this side to the sword, and I reckon they're going to win by 14.
Ooh. Yeah. 8.
6 to the Bulldogs.
Oh,
yeah! Oh, mixing that up. Getting chasing that points, Pete.
I'm not going to get there. Yeah. Anyway, Saturday, 3 August, Sharks versus the Rabbitohs at points bet. Muffy.
Ooh, yeah. This is this potentially could be game of the round, I think. Fifita is back for the Sharks after serving a one-game suspension. Moylan comes back as well at fullback, so Dugan goes to the wing. Wade Graham is another big in for the Sharks. He's in, comes into the second row. Capewell goes back to the bench. And Balake Braley and Billy Magulias drop out of this side.
Balake. You're an idiot.
Sam Burgess has finally been named he was named a few weeks ago and then they had to pull out with an infection in his shoulder, but he has been named to start. That pushes Ethan Lowe back to the bench. Liam Knight also comes onto the bench from having been suspended. Jaden Sewer is the person to miss out there. Well, look, at Shark Park, should be a really good game. There's a lot of interest for the Sharks, obviously, which is helpful, but whether it's first game back for these guys to try and find their rhythm again, I'm going to go... The Bunnies scrapped a win last week against the Dragons, an unimpressive Dragons team. I think this will be a lot harder game, but I think the Bunnies will just prevail and I'll have them by 4.
Yeah, I think the Bunnies by 6. I don't see the Sharks being good enough to beat them.
Yeah, I've got Rabbitohs by 2.
All right, moving on then to Sunday, 4 August, Roosters versus the Titans at the SCG.
Oh, Captain Teddy, everybody.
This is a blockbuster.
This is a terrible, terrible, terrible game.
Oh, sorry.
For the ins, there's been the outs are probably the key ones. Boyd Cordner, Jared Waree, Hargraves, and Taki Aho, as we talked about. For the Titans, Copley and Brimson are the key ones that are out there. Ash Taylor's been named in the reserves, interestingly, for the Titans. I don't think that's going to impact, even if he does come in. Brenko Lee's been named on the bench, and I don't know why. Like, he's a centre, but you've named him on the bench. So that potentially is cover for Philip Sammy, who may be sitting out because of the concussion stuff. So, and then maybe one of those guys from the bench comes in. Look, I think the Roosters, even with their outs and their key outs that they've got, I think they can cover those guys. And so I think they're going to win. I think they're going to win by 14 at least. Could be a lot more, but I'm just saying those key outs probably hurt them a little bit.
I really wanted to do this, and I think this is one I can do it on. Roosters by 26.
Oh!
Or I want to do an outrageous foolsy one.
Yeah.
I think this is the game to do it
here
on.
Here we go. Now he's going to say you're like by 40 or something.
No. I've pre-booked in Roosters by 28. So we're pretty much on the same.
Oh, there you go. Okay, fair enough.
Good foolsying.
All right, Sunday 4 August, Dragons versus the Eels at Nostrata Jubilee.
Nosferatu. We're back.
We love a good Nosferatu. Okay.
Did you say Nosferatu?
Oh, yeah. I just said whatever. It sounded similar.
Okay.
Look, McGregor has kept his starting 13 intact. Josh Kerr and Dufty, though, on the bench have been dropped, making way for Patrick Corfusi and the outstanding Jeremy Lattimore. So that's good. Michael Jennings is back in the centres. They've named Takarangi on the wing. Like, he's been scoring a lot of tries, but that doesn't make you a winger. But Ethan Parry will drop out. Sean Lane will come back from that finger injury. And Nikore will go to the bench. Oregon Corfusi dropping out. Too much Corfusi's in this game, if anything. They all got dropped.
They're becoming the new bros.
Yeah. There's more Corfusi's than Matutias nowadays. All right. So the Dragons need a win to keep their slim hopes alive. And they may well be capable of doing so. However, I just can't back them at the moment. I'll go Eels by 4 with no confidence whatsoever. They are really missing Fergo, in my opinion.
Yeah, they are really missing Fergo. That's probably the one thing that makes me think about tipping the Dragons. But I agree with you, Fulzy. I can't do it. So I'm going to go the Eels by 2.
Yeah, I'm not confident on either of these sides. But again, I'm with you. Two boys, Dragons are just a no-go at the moment. So yeah, Eels by 6.
All right, that brings us to the end of the preview for round 20. Fulzy, did you just want to do a little tipping comp update? Have you got that stuff for us?
There we go. Quick.
Thanks.
Is that it? That's all I get.
Oh, no, here we go.
The Sports Trenches Fantasy Overview.
Correction, it's tipping overview.
Okay, well, Brendan is just out and killing it on 98. Next best is...
You mean Rangers?
Yeah. Mm. Next best is Brendan Haynes Lunch on 94. The Hayne Plane 92, the Premium Den 92. Pete, you're on 90, and that's probably it in terms of relevance. Muffy and I are just sucking it up down here on 80. I'm on 86 and Muffy's on 83. We're cooked. Ooh.
15 behind the leader, 7 behind me. You are well and truly.
Well,
I picked too early, Pete.
And to see this, Muffy, on my app, see what we can do. Once we get to the final round, we can just go delete it. Because I'm the admin. Just kick them all out. I'll come first. It's fine.
So I've just got to beat you, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Then I can win the whole thing.
And anyone else behind us, I'll let stay in. But once the season's over, though.
So you two lucky people behind us can stay.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Who probably don't listen and don't care anymore.
Pretty much. Anyway. All right. Well, yeah. Look, let's just move on then, shall we, to Simona. Says Grevers should gamble. Show me the money! What you gonna do, Jerry? Show me the money! All right, Muffy. You're up this week, mate, because Fulzy's bet did not come in.
It was only the Storm that ruined it, wasn't it?
I was going to say, wasn't it like a surefire free kick?
Oh, it was. I'm surprised they... Good thing they paid it out before the game.
They didn't. That's the thing.
Nah, I think they did.
Anyway, Muffy, you got a 5-1 bet for us or what?
I've actually got a little bit more than 5-1.
Oh, thank goodness.
All I can do... Yeah, I've got slightly fractionally more than 5-1. I'm steering away from the football.
Good.
Haven't had any luck. Clearly, what have I had? None from 3 this year.
Yep.
Ashes kick off tonight, boys. I'm going a bet on the Ashes.
Yep.
Simple. Highest first innings run scorer for the Australian team.
Mm. Yep.
Controversial choice. Mm. $5.50. Mm. Cameron Bancroft.
Ooh.
I know. Yeah. I know it's tough, but I think it's... think it's safe money.
I reckon him and Warner get out early, so does Uzi, and Steve Smith has to carry us like he always does.
Yeah, but he's not over $5, otherwise I'd go Steve Smith.
Yeah,
I know what the provisions say.
Yeah, the provisions. No, that's Foolsie's made-up rules that I don't follow.
No, they're not made-up.
They are. You made them up.
Society's rules.
No, they're not, and I do not follow
cordial behaviour.
Anyway, moving on.
Since when did you become an expert at that?
He's never for cordial. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, cordial is is Cotties, but anyway.
Oh, shit.
Garth and his free money last week was free money.
What?
He was Manly 15.5, under 45.5. Both cleared easily. That was his free money bet.
Oh, okay.
His same game multi didn't get up, though.
Right, so the houses bet didn't work.
No, because it had Storm 1-12.
Have you got another one this week, or is he giving up?
However... he did get a lot right in that game, but he didn't get the Ruben Garrick for any time try scorer either. But anyway,
Didn't Garrick score in that game?
No.
I thought he did.
Anyway. Same game multi this week. He's gone Bronco Storm. Corey Oates, any time try scorer.
Three, yep, like it.
Over 37.5.
I think that's where you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Storm 1-12.
I like it.
Brisbane Broncos two-way handicap. First half two-way handicap plus 2.5.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I don't even know how
it's
that
getting
one
too complicated.
I think essentially he's saying the Broncos will be down by two or up, like, you know, like as in less than 2 points or up otherwise. If they're down by four, they're done in the first half. Second half.
At any point.
Second half.
Or at the end of the first half.
At the end of the first half. Second half, highest scoring half. So, for one house, Foolsie, because I need to put this in your...
I love the one.
40 houses.
I like it.
All right. He did give us a free money as well. He reckons this is free money this week.
Mm-hmm.
Broncos plus 15.5 over total match 31.5.
Broncos plus 15.5. Yeah, that's pretty... that should happen, right?
He's saying free money.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so that's the free money bet this week from Garth.
Is Garth the Burninators?
Yes.
Oh, he and I had a bit of fun in our sports, not sports trends, but in one of our leagues.
Yes.
Super Coach. Mm-hmm. We were doing it, so he did the dog match captain that I always do.
Yeah.
So then I tried to switch it to Mitchell at the last minute, and it was good fun.
Yeah. Mm. And so who'd you have it on in the end?
Mitchell. That was my only option.
Decision.
Yeah, it was pretty bad because I had it on Teddy.
Yeah.
But he matched it.
So he matched Mitchell.
He matched Teddy.
And he kept it as Teddy?
Yeah.
You got what you deserved then.
Yeah.
You kind of had to do it, though. It was Mitchell.
Oh, I had to do it. Yeah. I had to do it. Yeah. But it is fun doing those little midweek games.
Right.
Anyway.
There you go. Anyway. All right. That brings us to the end of the show, boys. We're done for another week. 2 weeks in a row, Foolsie. See, I told you we're cashing checks.
Oh, you need me, don't you?
No, we don't need
shit
you.
Shit falls apart as
it,
soon as
it does.
I'm not...
Plans for the weekend, Foolsie? Just going to sit in front of your 75-inch TV and
wedding anniversary. So shout out to my wife. Yes. She doesn't listen, but if someone who does sees her, go, I'll shout her out. And so, yeah, I don't know. I haven't really planned anything, but we'll see what
sit
happens.
In front of the TV.
Yeah,
together.
Hopefully TV.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Anyway, yeah, all right. Muffy, any plans?
Well, my wife is actually away for the weekend, so...
Oh, I got bachelor pad.
Bachelor,
ooh.
Batchy time.
We can do what we want.
Yeah.
All right.
If, I was just going to say, Fools, you should come over and watch the game on Saturday.
Oh.
Make plans for Friday night.
It is pretty tempting.
No, he already got in trouble for trying to make plans this weekend.
But that was before.
All right. Well, everyone enjoy their weekend. Enjoy the football. We'll see you all next week. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Any clues of what this is, by the way? I've never heard this song before, but it's Blink-182 and it's called TV.
Yes.
TV.